I have to say before, I'm very happy that Connor's willingness to share with all of you. And I have to would say that I admire his faith attitude. And he's been a delight to get acquainted with. And I'm sure that I haven't corrupted him yet. I'll work harder. But thank you, Connor. Welcome.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
How y'all doing today? So I'm going to give you all a little rundown first about who I am, where I'm from. I'm from a small town in southwest Florida called Punta Gorda. It's just north of Fort Myers, so I'm about hour and a half, hour 45 from home up here. I'm a current student at Florida Southern College. I'm going through my junior year, and I will be graduating next year with a bachelor's in youth ministry and a minor in business administration and agriculture. My goals with that is to be able to reach areas that are not reached in the form of mission work. My dream is to really travel the world in God's name. I have been to Cuba twice already. I've been to Haiti once. And mission work is something that I hold very dear to my heart. So I'm very excited to be participating in a church that is so keen and understands the importance in missionary work and in missions. With that being said, to tell a little bit about my program, I am recently hired here as the new youth director. So that is my position here. I will be leading the 6th through 12th graders in a youth program. That youth program will be every Sunday evening from 5:30 to 7:30. So if you know anybody who you think would be good, or you know anybody who has children that you think could really benefit from something like this, I think it's going to be a really awesome program. It's something I'm really excited about. It's something I've started to work really hard on. Currently, we will be taking 7 students to Rock the Universe. Possibly 10, more than likely just 7 students to Rock the Universe come September 10th. And that'll be our first event. And then our first Sunday evening program will be the night of September 18th. That's a Sunday evening, like I said. That'll be from 5:30 to 7:30. It'll be specifically for the youth. And the goal is to try and make it as fun as possible. Yeah, I believe if we have a fun program that is able to allow kids to benefit from, grow from, and learn from, they will want to come again and again and won't need to be dragged. So that's really the goal in this. And so if anybody has any suggestions, if anybody would like to just get to know me a little bit more, or has any questions about how they can help with the program, I will, like I said, I'll be in Helmuth Hall afterwards, and I would love to meet all of you. I'd like to get to know the new family that I'm becoming a part of over the course of the next 2 years for my duration at school. So with that being said, we can go ahead and dive into the word here. If y'all would please bow your heads with me real quick, and we can open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the blessings that you give us, Lord. We thank you for bringing us here today, bringing us into this place, bringing us into your house, Lord. We ask that as we go about the word, Lord, that we just be open to whatever it is that you have to show us this morning, God. We ask that you speak through me, and that everything I say be pleasing to you, Lord. That as we speak about your word, people don't look at me, people don't look at the people next to them, Lord, but they just look at you, and that everything that's said this morning points back to you, Lord, and that their eyes may be open to things that they may have not seen before, Lord. I ask all of this in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Alrighty, so just as it says on the bulletins this morning, we're going to be going through Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. So if you have your Bible out, you can go ahead and pull that up, and we'll take a look at it. That's Luke chapter 14, verse 1 through 14. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. Just then, in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not? But they were silent. So Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to them, if one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on a Sabbath day? They could not reply to this. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they might invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So there's two parts to this this passage here. The first part is about Jesus healing on the Sabbath, and the second part will be about humility. So first, we're going to go ahead and dive into the first part and see what that's all about, and just see the importance of it. So at the very beginning, we're kind of setting the scene here, and he's invited to the house of a Pharisee. He's not just invited to a house of a Pharisee, but he's invited to the house of a leader of the Pharisees. So you know it's kind of an important dinner that they got going on this evening. And it says that as he went in, they were watching him closely. And it's not as if they were watching him closely to learn from him or to see if he's going to use the fork with his right or left hand. They were watching him closely to see if he was going to mess up, to see if he was going to stumble over himself, to see if they could call him out and say, oh, if you're the Son of God, then why is it that you're messing up? Why is it that, you know, blah, 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 blah. Just completely try and turn him into the person that he's not. So in verse 2, it says that just then in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy. This is kind of a funny situation here, because dropsy is a medical illness where, for those of you that don't know, your body has taken in all the water, all the liquid that it can, but you still have a thirst. So you continue to drink and your body becomes swollen. Your limbs become swollen, and it's just not a pretty thing to see. So with that being said, it was also used to mock leaders in that time. Leaders in that time were called dropsies because they had this greed and this urge to they hungered and thirsted. No matter how much wealth they had, no matter how much power they had, they always wanted more. So here this man is at the table with these Pharisees who are the leaders who would be mocked as being dropsies. And here this man is suffering from this illness. So out of all illnesses, to be able for him to heal on the Sabbath, he heals this one that was used to mock the people that he's surrounded by right now. So he goes ahead and he asks them, you know, Jesus asked the lawyers and the Pharisees, is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not? And, they are so focused on the law, you know, they don't respond to him directly, but they're so focused on the law that a lot of times they miss the important things. So since they were silent, he went ahead, took the man and healed him and sent him on his way. And then he said to them, this is kind of an important part here. He said to them, if one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on a Sabbath day? So it's like, you know, they're so focused on the word here, they're so focused on the law that they forget the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law and respecting the Sabbath is to worship God. But are you not worshiping God and helping your brother and sister? But they're so focused on not doing work that they miss that. They take the law in the most literal sense of it. And I can just see, like, if I was at that dinner that night, I could just see, because it says, and then they could not reply to this in verse 6. I could just see one Pharisee leaning over to another and going, yeah, you know, he does kind of have a point there, you know. So We're going to see how Jesus goes on into talking about humility and talking about reaching out and not taking the law in such a literal sense. So in verse 7, it says, when he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. And I heard a definition over the summer about a parable that kind of stuck with me. And it says, it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So whenever you read a parable, it's not the literal sense of it, but you need to dig a little bit deeper and see what God and what Jesus is trying to show us through this example of a story. So it says, when you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place, and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. So there's a couple things that happen here. Whenever you go into a room, for instance, when we go to Helmuth Hall after church, you're going to grab your refreshments and you're going to go, well, shoot, where should I sit? You know, it's always a question that's asked in almost every situation. You know, where do I sit? You know, you walk into a classroom, where do I sit? You walk into church, where do I sit? And it gets a lot more confusing when there becomes a hierarchy, and you got to try and respect that, but without anything being said, because no one talks about the hierarchy, it's just there. You know, for instance, like, funny story, not really funny, but when I went to my girlfriend's house for the first time and we were having a family dinner, if I would have sat down at the head of that table, her dad would have looked at me like I was the craziest son of a gun he'd ever seen. All right, so like, you know, you got to kind of respect that in that way. But I can also see at the same time, you know, you're like, oh, like, you know, I'm the big gun, so I'm going to go to the dinner and I'm going to sit at the host table. And then suddenly you look over and you're like, oh, crap, he's here. All right, well, I'll sit next to him. Then you look again and there's another guy and, you know, you keep moving your way down the table and you see another one and you move it down. And you're like, well, crap, how many important people are there here? Next thing you know, you're at the other end of the table and you're washing the dishes after too, you know? But what is Jesus really trying to say here? Is he talking about sitting at a table in a literal sense? Or is he talking about how we treat others? We're at the table of life, and the host who invited us is God. Are we going to try and sit the highest up? Of course, it's our want to be as closest to Jesus as we can. But what puts us at the seat next to the host or in the host seat opposed to anybody else sitting in any of these pews? What makes us better than them? He goes on to say, but when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. This is probably one of the most important parts of the whole passage right here. It says, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. There's another version that I stumbled upon, and it says, all those who lift themselves up will be brought low, and those who make themselves low will be lifted up. So with that being said, you're at this table, and you're trying to, of course, be as close as you can. But in being as close as you can and being at the highest seat, you then are trying to put yourself before others. And he's not talking about this in a dinner setting at all. He's talking about this in the wonderful game of life, the wonderful dinner of life that we've all been invited to. So you put yourself first at that table of life, and it will only be a matter of time until your heavenly host comes and asks you to get up and scoot over, because you put yourself before others. Verse 12 goes on, and he says, he said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they might invite you in return and you would be repaid. That's not what this is about. Instead, he says, but when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. What, there's always a catch these days. There's always a catch. I did something for you, now you owe me. Now you do something for me. I bought you dinner, next time you got to buy me dinner. Take notes. You know, it's all, there's always a catch with everything. You know, it's just, it's not, he's not saying here, don't ever eat dinner with your family. Don't ever eat dinner with a wealthy friend that you may have. That's not what he's saying here. What he's saying is, do not do things for self-glorification. Don't do things to expect things in return. It's not a, I did my part, now you do yours kind of situation. I did this for you, now you do this for me kind of situation. For instance, you know, some of us may or may not be able to remember preschool, kindergarten, first grade. It was always, oh, I'll trade you my gummies for 2 fruit roll-ups. Well, that's a ripoff, 2 fruit roll-ups? Are you kidding me? Come on. You know? And now it's more of a thing in adulthood where it's like, okay, you can drive my child to church this day. I'll drive them the next day. It's a lot more complicated these days. But it's still, I do something for you, you do something for me. It doesn't matter if it's ABC or if it's the square root of 311. Like, you know, it's still, whether it's a simple or a complicated situation, there's always a catch. What if I said there doesn't have to be a catch? If we go to Luke 6, 34 through 36, it discusses something really important when we talk about love that and how we have to treat our enemies. Luke 6, 34 through 36 says, if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Love because we were loved. Be merciful because we were first shown mercy. Just like I said in verse 13, it says, but instead, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Again, like, don't look at this in the literal sense of inviting people to dinner, but lend a helping hand to others. Put others before yourself. Love without limits. That's what it's all about. It says it in the commandments. It says it in the Beatitudes. It says it in the parables. It says it in the life of Jesus. For instance, when somebody is walking down the side of the road, you're driving one night, so it's dark out, you're driving, and you see somebody down the side of the road. It is pouring rain out. It's monsooning. Like, you're afraid of hydroplaning because the road's 3 inches underwater. It's raining so hard. And you see that person, and they're obviously not having a good night. You know, they're walking home in the rain. You can think of 1,000 reasons why not to let them in their car, in your car. I don't know this person. This may not be safe. They're soaking wet. They're going to get my car wet. They may have not had a shower in a couple of days. They may really stink. But the question is, are you going to choose in that situation to step out of your comfort zone? Show the love that was shown to you. Show the mercy that was shown to you and extend a helping hand. We can all come up with excuses why not to do things. When you see someone, you can come up with a million reasons why not to help them. Some reasons may be stupid as all get out, and some reasons may be extremely valid. But like I said, are you going to step out of that comfort zone? Are you going to put yourself in the back seat to put them in Christ before you? Because we're taught Christ is in everybody, right? If we saw Jesus walking on the side of the road, we sure as heck wouldn't just keep driving. We'd invite him in and tell him to start teaching us stuff, you know? We need to treat people as the way that God has asked us to treat people, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. They will be lifted up. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. With that being said, would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, We thank you again, God. We thank you for all the blessings that you give us, Lord, the blessings that we realize, God, the blessings that we don't realize. We ask that you give us the courage and the strength and the will to step out of our comfort zone this upcoming week. As we go about our lives, Lord, that this just not stay here within this walls and this this story and this new understanding just not stay right here, but that it may travel with us throughout the week, God. As we go about our week, we keep this in mind. We keep it at the forefront of our mind, and as we go about our day, you show us opportunities to show people that we are Christians by our love. Show people the love that you have first shown us. Show people the mercy that you have first shown us, God. We just thank you, God. We thank you for being a loving Father. We thank you for being a merciful Father, a forgiving Father, God. And we thank you for everything that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.